Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. I want you to notice, first of all, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, in verse 28, notice what it says. For I have five brethren. He said, go to them that they may testify unto them, lest they also come to the place of this torment. Said, I have five brethren. Now, this rich man teaches us that there were six brothers in all. He had five brothers, and he was the sixth one, or there were six in all. Again, we see man's number is six. Man was created on the sixth day, and again, we see that man's number in Revelation 13:17 is 666. Man's number is six. It's one short of seven. It's one short of heaven. It's one short of salvation. It's one short of being saved. And man's number is six. And there are six brothers. The Lord just showed me that before I came down, just walking after my Bible. But that's a real good truth. There were six brothers. Six is always short of God's perfect number, seven. God rested on the seventh day. Man was created on the sixth day. That's his number. And man that falls short of seven is lost, because he's fallen short of the glory of God. All right, then there were six brothers. I can imagine now the prophets and the preachers going to visit some of these brothers. They're all living. They're pretty well-to-do families. Some of them quite well-to-do, some are not. But they're quite well-to-do, and they're getting along very well. So I guess probably that Moses, some of the preachers down through the ages, they got together and they said, now the word of God says to go out and go into the homes. The Lord Jesus Christ sent the disciples out by twos. That's Bible. Matthew 10. The Lord Jesus sent out the 70 by twos in Luke's Gospel. 10, the 10th chapter. So they go out in twos, and the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, went out in twos. That's New Testament. That's all over the Bible. Any true church will do it. Any false church will fail to do it. They'll make excuses because they haven't got the real McCoy. But anybody that loves Jesus will obey that part of the Bible, because that's so essential, because it's going to keep people from going to hell. And that's reason enough to go out and obey the Bible anytime, anywhere, any place. So these preachers went knocking at the doors. I suppose they came to one man this day. He was pretty well-to-do. I suppose they said, sir, could we come in and talk with you about the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I haven't got time. He said, I'm busy. I work day and night. After all, and then on Sunday, he said, I'm busy. I don't have time to go to church. They said, did you ever consider praying? He said, I'm not interested in praying. I don't have much time. Well, I might say prayer at night before I go to bed, but I'm not interested in praying. They said, all right, sir, could we leave your gospel tract? He said, you can leave it. All right, it's all right with me. He smiled at him with a smirk on his face. They left. He didn't realize it. But the moment God sent those two people at his door, God was trying to bring eternal life in that home. He was trying to change that home for all the eternities to come. And that poor person was blinded by the demon powers of Satan. And he didn't recognize it, acknowledge it, and therefore he simply, fluently, glibly sent them away. Well, I suppose that they knocked on another door of one of the other brothers. I guess they said, sir, we'd like to come in and talk with you about the Lord Jesus Christ. So they knock at his door, and he said, all right. He said, I'll let you come in. He said, I'm always willing to talk with anybody. So this preacher goes in with his friend. He sits down and talks with the second brother. This brother is a little more interested, perhaps just a little more receptive. Perhaps he said, well, I believe in God. I guess probably the scriptures are true. He said, I think one religion is just as good as the other. He said, I think they're good. You'll go to heaven. I could see that preacher talking to him. He said, no, it's not by works. No, no, no. He said, I realize, sir, you're respectable. I realize, sir, that maybe you go to church. I realize, sir, that you're a nice person. Maybe you give to the community fund, you're a charitable individual. But he said, it's not by works. He said, the word of God says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, But according to His mercy, He saves us by the washing of regeneration and revelation of the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5. You're not saved, sir, by what you do. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. No, sir, you can't get to heaven by works. Paul looked at him and didn't know if to get angry or not. He said, well, that may be true, but he said, I happen to believe you can get there by works. He said, I go to church. He said, I'll admit they don't preach on the blood. He said, I'll admit they don't preach on the new birth or the second coming. They don't preach that all the Bible's true. They just preach lovey-dovey sermons. He said, I go there every week. He said, I think we're all pretty good people. Pastor, maybe he wept a little. I don't know. He said, sir, that'll never do. That'll never do. You've got to repent of your sins. Anything God calls sin, even if you're a good person. Repent of your old life because you're a sinner by nature. You had nothing to do about it. You were born a sinner. He said, you've got to repent of your own nature and receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. He said, Jesus Christ died for you, paid the wages for your sins. He satisfied God's demands on your sins. Now he said, by faith in the Word of God, faith is based on facts, you've got to receive the Lord Jesus. You've got to make a definite decision at a definite time and be translated from darkness to light, from hell to heaven, and from your lost condition into a saving experience with Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I'm sorry, I can't go along with that. And Paul said, God loves you. Won't you accept Christ? And he said, I can't go along with it. I'm sorry. I wasn't brought up that way, but I respect you. And Paul went out. And he went to another brother's home. And he knocked on the door. This was a different type of man. I suppose this man was, well, he had a wonderful display of wealth and honor and royalty. He was known as the rich man in the community. Now, nobody ever said he committed or performed any vulgar sins. Nobody ever said that. Nobody said he was a crook, and nobody said he was a liar or an adulterer. Nobody ever made this charge against this rich man. Nobody ever said he wasn't religious. I suppose he was a member of the local church. I suppose he was a member of the Masons. I suppose he was a member of everything that was considered to be good in the community. I suppose he was. I don't know. Well, Paul said, sir, he said, you know that the Lord Jesus died for you on the cross. And he said, I've seen two of your other brothers, and they don't seem to be interested. He said, what do you think about it? Don't you realize that you're a sinner, that the Lord Jesus died for you? The rich man looked at him, and he smiled, and he said, my good man. He said, do you mean to tell me that God would ever send me to hell? He said, I'm not going to boast, but he said, do you realize how much I give to charity? Do you realize how much I give to the church? Do you realize that I don't make my money lying, stealing, stealing? He said, I make my money honestly. He said, don't you realize that? He said, young man, are you telling me? Are you standing in front of me and telling me that I'm a candidate for hell? The pastor looked at him, a little bit stunned, and he said, that's right, sir. That's exactly what I'm telling you. You are a candidate for hell. But he said, God loves you, and he's not willing that you should go there. If you receive Jesus in your heart, you can get saved if you really mean it and believe with all your heart that he died for you and receive him by faith. He said, you can be saved in 60 seconds or less. And he said, you got to mean it. You got to mean business. And the fellow kind of laughed. He said, young fellow, there's the door. He said, I've heard all I'm going to hear from you today. And he said, there's the door. Go on out. I'm through with it. I don't want to hear any more about that kind of talk. I suppose maybe the next day or so, maybe the telephone rang to one of the other brothers. There were six in all. The telephone rang, and one of the brothers picked it up, and it said that your brother just died with a heart attack. And there was weeping, and there were crying. And then they got together, and they said, we want to give him the best funeral we can possibly give him. Bring in the beautiful flowers, and buy the most beautiful casket in town. Be sure you have the secret organization run the funeral. Get right into heaven in a hurry because he certainly was a good man. So they planned the funeral. Some people went. They packed the place. I suppose the wife, who was very proud, pious, snobbish, egotistical, self-centered, procrastinated as far as any gospel was concerned, thought she was above it. She sat down front with her veil on and her beautiful clothes, and she started weeping. She said he was such a good man. The neighbor said, if anybody goes to heaven, he'll go to heaven. And I suppose some of the friends of the secret order said he was a brother, which was contrary to Jesus Christ. He never did receive the Lord Jesus. And John 5:23 says, if you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. And that does away with an awful lot of things in an awful lot of places. Yes, sir. All right, then. And I suppose the funeral was going good. And the preacher had him all preached into heaven. He said, I want you to know that this man was a real giver. He gave to the church. He gave to the community chest fund. He gave to the heart drive, the cancer fund. When people were sick, when they were poor, he would give. I want you to know that this man had wonderful works, and he's in heaven. Everybody felt a little better. It was quite a funeral. But there's only one problem with it. If those that were mourning at that funeral had really known where this rich man was, they would have moaned, and they would have mourned and screamed and cried, because they didn't know where he was. While the funeral was going on, this man was in a literal hell being tormented. They didn't realize it. So they cried, and they said, he's all right, and he's gone on to be with the Lord, just like everybody says about everybody, and we're such deceivers many times. We're deceivers and liars, and we don't dare to face up to the word of God, because we're not men, we're not women. And so, if they had ever realized where he was, they'd have screamed. They would have screamed out in anguish and torment and discomfort. And they would have been completely madmen. If they could have taken a look at what Jesus Christ gives himself as a picture, and he knows hell because he created it. He sees everybody that's there this morning. If they could have looked out and seen hell and seen this good man in hell, Hades, the place of departed spirits, I suppose that they would have just simply gone mad. Well, then the funeral was over and everybody went home. And now let's take a look at scene 3. Let's take a look at the place of departed spirits where the rich man really went. All the kind words of the pastor, all the kind words of the secret order, and all the kind words of the crowd didn't change. This man is what was lost. I don't care if your mother, father, preacher, pastor, whoever it is, lies to you. You're either born again or you'll go to hell. You either get saved the Bible way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. There's only one name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, if you enter any other way, John 10:2, you're a thief and a robber. Jesus said, there is no other way. It's straight, it's narrow, it's my way. And the word of God says in Matthew 7:28, they were astonished at his doctrine. But Jesus said, this is all. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You must get saved through me, not Buddha, not Mohammedanism, not love. Through the Baptist, not through the Universalist, not through the Methodist Congo, not through conventions and orders and organizations and works and all of these things. Jesus said, you must repent of your sins and receive me in your heart. Or he said, you're lost, I'll carry. Don't ever tell me there's any other way. That's a satanic lie from hell. Take a look at him in hell. It's not a pretty picture. I wish today that some people, if there be some here, and there would be in a crowd of 200 people, I wish that if you haven't been saved, that you get saved this morning for Jesus' sake. I didn't say join this church, I said get saved. I wish that if you're a Christian that's carnal and worldly, and you've been playing around with sin, that you'd give it up. That you'd come clean and pure and righteous and holy in the name of the blood of the Lamb, and come to Jesus and say, I have been playing the game, Lord. I wish that you'd get a good look at hell this morning. I wish that you Christians that aren't faithful in some of the activities of Jesus Christ, maybe that could be faithful. I know some could not be in certain areas. That's understandable. God knows. But if you could be and you're not, I wish you'd begin to come and see what's in hell this morning. Look at that neighbor and begin to realize what he's got ahead of him if he doesn't get saved. Everybody here will die. These were two men, a rich man and a beggar. Neither one of them could escape the pale horse of death. They couldn't procrastinate. They couldn't buy off the death horse as it came riding by their door. No, sir. They both had to say yes, and they both had to take their last breath, and they both had to die. But it didn't end there. If it only ended with death, it would be easy, but it never does. Nobody ever gets through with life at death, because you always go on in eternity. It's either heaven or hell. Two men on earth, two people died, and now two destinations. And this is what God is teaching this morning. Notice what it says in Luke 16, verse 22. Read it together. And it came to... Or verse 23. All right, I want you to notice that he died, then he was buried. Jesus Christ gave such a beautiful description. He wanted you to know he was a real man that had a real death, that had a burial. Now notice what it says. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. The first thing I want you to see about hell, which is that people that go there are tormented. They're tormented day and night. Revelation 14:11 says, there is no rest day and night. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Who worship the beast in his image, and they have no rest day and night. Revelation 20 verse 10 says, and Satan was cast into the a lake of fire with brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they were tormented day and night forever and ever. I want you to see it, that Jesus says that they're tormented in hell, literally tormented, and wouldn't it be wonderful if they could stop the torment, but they can't? Wouldn't it be something if the fire could be put out, but it won't be? Wouldn't it be tremendous if the pain would go away, but it won't be? The suffering, but it won't. It goes on and on and on and on, and hell is there staring, gripping their mind, gripping their body. It's a fire that won't go out. In outer darkness, supernaturally made by God for those that reject Jesus. I want you to notice that this man was in torments, and everybody, 1 second after death, will be in torments, eternal torments, and they'll suffer in anguish and pain and remorse and regrets and sorrows and griefs and heartaches and sadness and sickness and all of these things. And they'll be, first of all, I want you to notice, first of all, if you've ever been to a hospital and seen somebody suffer, and the suffering doesn't stop, and you can't give them medication anymore, and you feel so bad for them, and you watch them groan, and you hear them holler, but you can't do anything about it. Medication doesn't help. They've had so much, or they can't take anymore. And they scream, and they holler. To me, as a pastor, that's been one of the saddest things in my life, one of them. That's bad enough. In Buckfield, Maine, as a teenager, we went and saw this. We were in Buckfield one night and saw this camp burn up, and a man was an old man. Smoking, camp caught on fire. We could see through the fire. We could see his friend, see it burning. We could hear his screams and his holler as he died in that fire. I've never forgotten it, never will, until Jesus comes. And I thought, since I've been saved, I wasn't saved then. What a terrible picture of those that scream. But there's a difference. This man, as far as that particular fire went, he was burned up and he lost his life. But these that are in hell are tormented day and night forever and ever. And there is no end. There is no separation from this torment. It goes on indefinitely. And still we sit complacently. We don't run after the man of God to hear the gospel. We're not concerned about the souls going to hell. We put other things first, and we're so callous. We're so indifferent, and we think we have a right to our self-opinionated ideas. And we go on and on, very callously, criticizing, perhaps, judging, backbiting, questioning the leadership, etc. All the time, people go to hell, and you haven't got the burden, because you don't yet believe. This man was tormented day and night, forever and ever. So is everybody else this very minute that's ever gone to hell. The second thing I want you to notice, no relief. No relief. No end to it. It goes on and on and on, and there's no end to it. And he said, stop it. I'll repent. Stop the flames. Put out the fire. I'll repent. But Jesus Christ never would let him, because it was too late. He said, I always wanted to accept you someday. And Jesus said, you had your chance. He said, I'll do anything. I'll give everything I've got. Jesus said, you lost everything you've got when you left here. He said, but listen, I'll join a Bible-believing church and go all the way with Christ. Jesus said, it's too late. You had plenty of opportunities. No relief. And the torment goes on. And the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9, 44, 46, 48, Isaiah 66, 24, and all over the Bible. And the conscience will not go out. The mind will not stop. If it would, like some of our friends teach, which is false doctrine, that would be one thing. But it doesn't. And the mind torments and is anguish and gets at the soul until it goes on and on in this terrible tormented state. You may not be stirred up as a Christian, but you will be when God shows you exactly what was on in heaven. I'm not going to play around. I'm going to go everywhere God opens the door. I'm going to preach. I'm going to weep. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to do everything, not because I'm anything, but He's everything. I'm going to do everything to get out the gospel and preach the good news and carry it everywhere possible and go, 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 day and night, work, serve, serve, and work. Never quit and never stop until Jesus comes and He stops me. And that's what I'm going to do. I thank God for the remnant that's doing it too for Jesus' sake. But I fear for those that have so many spells in their Christian life. Boy, they're hot and they're cold. They go good for a week and break down. The next 3 weeks they're backbiting and bickering and playing with their habits. And they won't come out of compromise and they stay in sin. And I feel bad that when there's a hell and when there's a heaven and when there's a Christ and when there's the Holy Spirit and when there's a pure word of God, that they go on and on in their nasty, filthy way. 3 out of every 4 weeks you can expect them to have an individual crisis with the devil. And they always yield for about 3 weeks, and then they come back for 7 days, for 7 good days. I'll tell you, it's too late. It's too late to play with that kind of a game. Get on God's bandwagon. Get to believe in the Word of God. Make Christ make you a soul winner. Have Him give you a burden and go all the way for the Lord Jesus. Notice something else about this person. Notice what it said. He cried, "Father Abraham," verse 24, "have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." For what is it? Read it. "For I am tormented in this flame." Cool my tongue. I want some water. I've got to have water. There's flame all around me. I've got to have water. Give me water. And he cries and he cries, "Give me water." I've wondered and thought many times in tears, and some friends or brothers or sisters might be crying, that same cry. I want water. But it's an unsatisfied appetite because there is no water. And he said, "Give me water. I've got to have water. It's burning. It's hot. Give me water. I want water." And there's no water. "Just a tip then. Just a little bit. I've got to have some." "But you can't have any." "Give me a little, but you can't have any. You're in hell. Don't you know you rejected a free gift? You can have it for nothing. Salvation, heaven, friends, wonderful comfort, joy, peace, eternal life." And you said no. You were proud. You said no to that pastor. You said no to the Word of God. You said, "I'll go my way. I believe in evolution. I believe in theistic evolution. I believe, I believe, I believe, and I believe." And God says, "You will burn, and you will burn in hell. But give me just a little bit of water. I can't stand it." And God says, "You'll never get it. As long as you live, you won't get it. You'll never get it, and you're there forever." Then all of a sudden he said, "But my children, I want my children. I want my children." And God said, "No, you can't have your children." He said, "I want my children. I won't stand it. I want my children." And God says, "You won't have your children." It does no good to scream and holler. He's there forever. There's a great gulf fixed, and there's no passing over the gulf. There isn't such a thing as a second chance. You can't show it in anybody's Bible in America or the world. There's no second chance. I get right with God today, or when it's time, or I go to hell. And that's what Jesus teaches throughout the Bible. And he said, "I want to see my wife. Is she? Can I see my wife?" And the Lord Jesus said, "No, you can't see your wife. She'll be here, but you can't see her. She'll be here because she's rejecting, but you can't see her. But I've got to see her. And I want to sit down and talk with my family and my wife. But you can't because it's too late." And you just said no to Jesus Christ. Can I impress you with something today? Don't you realize that every word of God is true, that this is a tremendous subject, that this is a tremendous life? How can you fluently, goodly just sit there and not do anything about Jesus? How can you be there and not get stirred and not get moved and not get pricked by the Spirit of Christ? How can you go on in your false habit? How can you go on in worldliness? How can you go on in sin? How can you possibly, in the name of common sense and intelligence and justice and pure logic, go on and play a game? Why don't you go all the way for Jesus Christ and pray and do what you can for Jesus and go down this lane and say, "I'm going to stand up for Him. I'm going to let His life radiate and emulate from me and through me. I'm going all the way proclaiming the gospel whenever I can in my spare time. I'm going to live the Christian life, bring my family up, have daily devotions, and really so that we can all be to heaven together. Why don't you do it? Why do you play the game that the rich man played? He said, I want my family. And God said, you're never going to see them again. Never thought of them again. You see, his mind was flickering and changing rapidly. And then he said, my five brothers. That's it. My five brothers. All of a sudden, his mind was tormented now. He couldn't think straight, but he's thinking pretty straight. He said, I pray. That's it. I'll pray. And he said, listen, Abraham, send somebody to my five brothers. They haven't accepted you. They haven't accepted Christ. And I, at least if I've got to spend eternity here, I don't want them to. Will you send somebody to them? Will you please? I want you to see the answer he's given to this man. Abraham saith unto him, verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets. What did he say? Verse 31, he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they what? He said, send somebody to my five brothers. And Abraham said, no, I'm not going to. He said, we've given them the word of God. We've given them preachers that are true. God sent certain preachers. They're few and far between, but they're here, there, and everywhere across New England. A few but far between, but there are a few. He said, I've sent them, and I've sent some faithful Christians. He said, why can't they hear him? But he said, if somebody would rise from the dead, then they'd be persuaded. Abraham said, no, they wouldn't. They never would be, because they're living a life of selfishness, and they're too proud to come humbly to Jesus Christ and receive him. So he said, but somebody has got to go to my five brothers. Somebody's got to, and I want them to go. And Abraham said, I've got news for you. You're not getting any orders anymore. Nobody's going. And he said, I want to see the sun. Abraham says, you're not going to see it. He said, I want to hear a song. And Abraham said, you're not going to hear anybody sing. He said, I want to hear a gospel message. And Abraham said, you're not going to hear it. He said, I want a gospel track. And Abraham said, you're not going to receive one. He said, I want to see the flowers. And Abraham said, you're not going to. He said, show me the blue sky. And Abraham said, you're not going to. He said, get me out of here. And Abraham said, no, a thousand times no, it's too late. How anybody could listen to a sermon on hell and not be stirred and moved, I don't believe that they're saved. I think they're practical atheists. They say they believe, but in practicality, they don't believe in Jesus Christ or the Word of God. Unsatisfied appetites, desire, frustration. The thing that they want will never come to pass, can never be realized, can never be experienced. Frustration, wanting water but no water, wanting the family but no family, wanting a song but no song, wanting to see the flowers but no flowers, wanting life but no life, separated from God, that's it. Separated from God. That's the thing that really counts in hell. Separated from God. Separated from God Almighty. Now they realize there is a God, but they're separated from Him forever, and that's hell. That's hell in itself. They recognize that the Bible is true, and they don't have any chance to read it, to accept it, to live by it. There's a God, and they've lost Him forever. It's all over, and they're just a soul that cannot perish in a world that will always exist. In Gehenna, where is it? It's down. How do you know? Isaiah 14:19, Matthew 12:38-40. Isaiah 5:14 says hell is enlarged all the time. Proverbs 27:20 says hell and destruction are never full. And Psalm 25:8 says it. Sorrow and grief encompassed hell. And all these things, it's getting larger and larger. It's never full. And our scientists say today, as I mentioned in prophecy, that underneath this earth is just live coal burning. In the center of the earth, your scientists tell you that. And that's exactly where Hades, the place of departed spirits, is located, is in the center of the earth, and science has collaborated that there is a hell in the center of the earth, although they don't call it hell. As we close today, the Lord Jesus Christ loves everybody here. He's not willing that anybody should perish. But he's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, 2 Peter 3:9, but his long-suffering toward us would. And God says, if you'll accept me, I'll guarantee you that you'll never go to hell. That's a promise 396 times in your Bible, that if you'll accept Jesus, there is no hell for you, but it's heaven forever and ever. If you'll accept Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and come clean with God, God says, I'll guarantee you, you'll never have to go there. Your children, when they reach the age of accountability, will be saved. But if you go the other way, chances are your children, though they may be good children, will grow up and go the other way too. He said, you are leading lives either to heaven or hell. And he said, if you don't see it, read the Bible. He said, I love you. I died for you. I'll give you salvation. He said, I beg you, plead with you to receive me as your Savior. And don't ever have to go to where there's torment, anguish, sorrow, grief, and hell. And he said, I ask you now to receive me as your Savior. But to the Christian, he said, I plead with you to really, really get right with God. The Lord Jesus Christ means business for you when he died. He said he wants you to mean business for him. Some of you profess to be saved, and you don't even go to one Bible-believing church service a week, yet you profess salvation. You think that God Almighty wants you to miss a gospel preaching service when the gospel is going forth and people are going to hell. Do you think he wants you to miss an assembly of saints that gather together for his name? Absolutely not. That's not in the Bible. Yet you callously do it every other thing. Others are very faithful. Others haven't heard this, so you're not responsible until today. Now you're responsible to obey it. Let's everybody stand, please.